We're doing the Medrash Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. And now, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is going to quote his Rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai patach. Vayom ahu karat Adonai et Avram berit lemor, lezarcha eten, ta'aretz hazot, etc. On that day, Hashem made the covenant with Avram. Amar Avram nifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Avram said before God, Ribono shel Olam lo natata li zera. Master of the world, you did not give me a seed, v'ata omer li, and you're telling me, lezarecha eten et haaretz hazot, I will give your seed this land. What seed? Shenemar hen li lo natata zera. That's what the verse says. Avram says, who do you mean? I don't have any seed. Bama eida ki irashena. Avram said, with what will I know, with what sign will I know that I will inherit the land of Israel? So what does Avram want? He wants leida. He wants to know. What did the Ribbono shel Olam want? The Ribbono shel Olam wanted him lehaamin. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, said to him, Avraham, kol ha'olam kulo b'diburi hu omed, ve'en ata ma'amin b'dvarai. The world stands on my say-so. And when I say so, it isn't good enough for you. Ela ata omer, b'mai da ki rashena. You're asking me, in what will I know that I will inherit it? Chayecha, I swear by your life. Shtei pamim yadoa teida. You wanted leida. You wanted to know. I'll let you know. Yadoa teida ki ger yezaracha. You're going to see. You want to know? I'll show you. Shneimar yadoa teida ki ger yezaracha. Now we have to go on a tangent. What's the issue here? And what is the balance between emunah and yediyah? So, what I'm telling you now is something that I developed from a lot of sources, but I don't have any one source that says it. But this is my impression from different things in Chazal, like this Medrash, and other Midrashim, and the Book of Job. But again, I'm going out on a limb, because I don't have anyone that spells this out. Based on what I'm saying, there's a Rambam that makes better sense, and a lot of things work. But again, I'm going out on a limb. So that's my disclaimer. That being said, you could verify other people whether what I'm saying makes sense or not. The Ribbono shel Olam gave us a world and gave us intellect and expects us to use it. Ata hor'eita lada'at ki Hashem hu Elokim. The verse says in Vayeschanon, Hashem showed you what you needed to see so that you would know that Hashem is the one controlling the world. Notice the word lada'at. You're supposed to know. So if I know, why do I have to believe? I know. Where does belief come in?
Because if you have enough belief, then you know.
Maybe. But the word says, "Ho'eita ladat," so that you should know. Ve'yaminu ba'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. They believed? They just saw it. What does it mean they believed?
But you won't really know if you have belief. It's like people who are not religious, and they can't see Hashem anywhere because they don't believe. And then people who are religious, they do believe, and they know that there's Hashem because they believe, and that enables them to be able to know that there's Hashem because they see it. Because they believe, they can know.
Okay. You could say the way you said. Let's try taking a different route. So, there is the basic knowledge that one can develop. Let's leave that for a minute. Let's deal with something else. We could say, and I don't know if it would be an error, we could say that there is an internal compass in every person that connects to the idea that there is a creator. And it doesn't start with logic. It starts with our soul. There's something inside a person that tells them there's a creator. We could discuss the logic of it, but that's yediyah. There's also something else there. Now we said there's knowledge, and then we went to the opposite extreme. We said there's something there. You can't call it knowledge because it doesn't stem from knowledge. Just as a person knows he himself exists, there's something inside him that's also saying there's a creator. But we don't know what that is. That's very undefined. That's like, that's amorphous. What is it? So let's put that on the opposite extreme. Now let's move forward. You've developed your understanding. There's a creator. Great. Now you take a look at the world and you say, gee, where are you? So you could say, what do you mean, where am I? Where is he? Don't you see all the order that's in nature? Don't you see all the things that make perfect sense? What do you want to say? This just happened to happen this way. So then I'll ask you, but what about the children that have cancer in the cancer ward? What did they do? Where's the order there? What about all those people that suffer and they don't seem to have done anything that we could say? Well, where's the order there? What are you going to say? That's order? And the epitome of that is a scenario where God himself contradicts himself. God comes and says, this is your future, Yitzchak. Then God comes and says, go slaughter him. Wait a second. You said that he is the future. You said, Ki v'Yitzchak yikarei lecha zara. Now you said, go slaughter him? Chazal tell us that Avram Avinu did not have answers to his questions. So Avram is moving forward when he doesn't understand. So how could you do it if you don't understand? So the answer is, I think, that once you've developed the system, once you do understand that he controls the show, then the fact that I don't understand what he's doing doesn't negate what I do understand. Now that's a huge challenge, because when you're faced with something that's as blatant as he's contradicting himself, yesterday he told me, the Medrash says, Avraham Avinu said, yesterday he told me, or he thought, Yitzchak is all my future, he's my life. Today he's telling me, go slaughter him. How do I rectify the two? That's where Emunah comes in. I don't understand him. I don't master him. B'me'ara atem ne'arim v'oti atem kove'im, the Navi says. You think you could sit in your little cave and define me? You know who I am? And that's God's answer to Eov. What do you understand about the world? So you don't understand, right? So now let's connect all three points. The first point, yediyah. A person can develop a knowledge. From that knowledge, a person can allow himself to connect to the natural emunah that's there within him, waiting to come out. But then he faces a situation where, I don't understand, I don't have answers, and I don't know where you're leading me, and it doesn't make sense to me. And my questions are, now here's the big question. Am I going to say, my questions are bigger than my answers, or am I going to say, I have questions? If I say, my questions are bigger than my answers, then I can take the questions and uproot everything I had beforehand. When I have emunah, what I'm saying is, I have the yediyah, and from the yediyah, I can also have emunah, where I don't have answers. I don't have idea in certain areas. And it's easier for me to contend with that because there's also that natural emunah that comes out of a person naturally. But then a person stands there and starts asking himself, wait a second, is that all for real? How real is that? I have so many problems. The problems are real. And that's where emunah comes in. That's why we say a person's emunah is put to test. Your yediyah is really there, and if you only allow yourself to think it through, you'll see nothing that you have contradicts that. What you have is questions, but the questions are not bigger than your yediyah. Well, they shouldn't be bigger than your emunah either. Because once the yediyah has validated the emunah, so then now you should have the strength to step forward. Now, the bigger the challenge, the harder it is. Avraham Avinu is standing. He's seen his brother have children and get killed at the stake. He's seen ample opportunity to have children. And now his wife is barren. Chazal tell us that they were both defunct. They both had physical reproductive handicaps. And according to one Medrash, Sarah didn't have a womb. According to Chazal in another place, Sarah was post-menopause. It's over. She's all shriveled and dried up. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. God says, you're going to have kids. And I'm giving them this land. And Avram, Haleven Mesh, Anayi Valed, can I function at 100 years old, Avram thinks? V'im Sarah bat 90 shana teled, Sarah's 90. She's still going to have kids? So on Avram's level, Avram's question, Bama Eida, Avram looks around and he sees this land, this territory used to be in our family. Used to belong to the Shemites, the Semites, to the descendants of Shem. And now the Canaanites took over and they, one by one, they knocked over everyone that was here. Avram doesn't have a kid. And Hashem says, your children, they're having this land. So what does Avram ask? Bama Eida, and what can I know? Hashem says, you want to know? I just told you. The whole world. And that goes back to Eov, the whole world. Everything you see, you don't understand, and I run because I say so. You want to know? Okay, I'll let you know. You're right. You want to understand? So then we're going to have to work through a system of understanding. They're going to have to be slaves. They're going to have to overcome. They're going to have to come out of there and form into a nation. You want to know? Okay. 400 years. And here the Medrash is telling us that those 400 years was a price for Avram's asking, but I want to know. So that's a very tough Medrash. Wow. Yes.
First of all, your ideas are backed up in Rav Arush's book of Gan Emunah. He says that Emunah carries on where understanding ends off.
Okay.
Second of all, about the thing about everyone having an inherent Emunah, I think that can also be proved. If you ask someone who claims to be a complete Chiloni and completely doesn't believe in God, and you say to them, you know, if one of your family members passes away, why don't you take an axe, chop them up, and throw them out of the trash? They're dead. What? Respect? Respect for what? They're not here anymore. They don't know if you're respecting them or don't know respecting them. So what do you care? Why bury them? You know? Chop them up with an axe, throw them out of the trash. No one's going to do that. Why? Respect. Respect for what?
I hear. I'm just wondering, what do we say about the cannibalistic tribes in Africa?
That's a problem.
Okay. Back to our Medrash.
I have to think about that one.
So there is a concept in Chazal that a person can be evil enough to remove his Tzelem Elokim, meaning a person does have a capacity. Hashem created us B'Tzelem Elokim, and a person has a capacity to remove that. The question is, how do you view them? Meaning, if they were born into it. So, there's a letter of Rav Elchanan Wasserman in Kovetz Igros, where he writes that the Torah demands of every person to stop and think and logically deduce the seven Noahide laws. That's what he writes over there. So I guess that applies to a person born into a cannibalistic state as well. Okay. That's what it seems like. The Medrash is saying it was a punishment for that. It would have happened differently. It didn't have to play itself out that way. Now, we have to know in every Medrash, you never close the trap door, meaning there's always ways to climb out. So the 400 years were decreed, but it depends on how they behave. So Yitzchak Avinu has those 400 years peacefully. Yaakov Avinu errs, and now there's enmity among his kids, and so now we go down to Egypt. Meaning even after the decree, it didn't have to play itself out that way. The Jews go down to Egypt and they're nobles. They're fulfilling the decree. They're in a foreign land. But then they say we have to be like them. Vayishritzu. They became like vermin. They started having improper behavior towards one another. They rat on one another. They're unfaithful to one another. So then things get as bad as they were. Meaning even when there's a decree, that doesn't mean it has to play itself out one way. That's up to us. Okay. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah omer. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, "Lo yashavu Yisrael b'Mitzrayim ela 210 shanim." The Jews were only in Egypt for 210 years. Teda lecha shuken. I'll prove it. Bo rei sherat Yosef b'Mitzrayim ha'ben 17 shana. Okay, guys. 12 o'clock night is a good time to start doing math. Okay. So I'm going to read it quickly, and you could listen to this tomorrow morning when you're more awake and do the math. Yosef goes down to Egypt when he's 17. He stands before Pharaoh 13 years later when he's 30 years old. It says when Yosef met his brothers, he said, it's only been 2 years of famine, so get down here to Egypt. So you see there were 7 years of plenty, 2 years of famine. So what do we just see? Yosef was 17, plus 13, because he was 30 when he stood before Pharaoh, plus 7 years of plenty, plus 2 years of famine. So where are we holding? 39. 17 plus 13. Okay. 17 plus 13 plus 7 plus 9. 39. Ve'levi ben Yaakov ve'agdol mi'Yosef shesh shanim. Levi, Yosef's older brother, was 6 years his senior. Uviritol mitzrayim ha'ben 45 shana. So when he went down to Egypt, if Yosef is 39, then Levi is 45. Ushnei chayav b'mitzrayim 92 shana. It says he lived in Egypt 92 years. Arei me'ah 37 shanim. So what do we have here? We have 92 plus 30. Arei me'ah 37 shanim. I'm sorry. He lived in Egypt 92. Plus 45 equals 137. So Levi passes away when he's 137. That means Levi was in Egypt how many years? 92, right? Because he was 6 years his senior. So we just figured out that Yosef was 39 when the Jews went down to Egypt. So Levi was 45. If Levi was 45 when they came down to Egypt, that means he was in Egypt how many years? To 92. Okay? So Levi was in Egypt 92 years. Uviriton mitzayim yadalo ishtot Yochev bito. Now, when they entered Egypt, Yocheved was born. Uvatmeh 30 shana yadat Moshe. She gave birth to Moshe when she was 130. So, they went down to Egypt. They're going to be in Egypt 92 years. And 92 years plus... meaning when they went down to Egypt, she was born. When her father, 92 years later, her father passes away, she has Moshe, how many years later? 38. So it's 130 years into their descent to Egypt. Shneimal Moshe ben 80 shana. Now, Moshe was 80 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. So 130 plus 80 equals 210. הרי כולם 210 כמניין רדו. So you end up with 210 years. That's all we were in Egypt.
We add that 130 onto the 92 that we had before?
No, because the 92, he had her when he entered Egypt. Levi had his daughter Yocheved when he entered Egypt. So, yes, you with me? Okay. וכאן הוא אומר ועבדו מינותם 400 שנה, and here God says it'll be 400 years. אמר לו רבי אלעזר בן ערך, שרב אלעזר בן ערך answered רבי אלעזר בן עזריה, לא אמר הקדוש ברוך הוא לאברהם אל המשה שהיה לו זרע, שנאמר כי גר יהיה זרעך. Hashem says from the time you have a seed, that's when we start counting the 400 years. וכתיב כי ויצחק יקרא לך זרע, and you see the verse calls יצחק his seed. ומי שנולד יצחק ועד שיצאו ישראל נמצאים 400 שנה, and from when יצחק was born till they left Egypt was 400 years. אמר לו רבי יוחנן בן זכאי, שרבי יוחנן בן זכאי asked his student רבי אלעזר בן ערך, ולא כתיב ומושב בני ישראל שישבו במצרים 30 שנה וארבע מאות שנה. The verse says that they settled in Egypt for 430 years. אמר לו 210 ישבו ישראל במצרים. So he said to him, yeah, they lived in Egypt 210. וחמש שנים עד שלא בא יעקב למצרים, נולדו לו שני שבטים, ליוסף, מנשה ואפרים. 5 years before they entered Egypt, יוסף had מנשה and אפרים. ומן השבטים, and you see they count as the tribes, שני מאפרים ומנשה קרובים שמעון יולי. הרי 215 שנה. So you have 215 years from when you had the tribes down in Egypt. ימים ולילות, we count the nights and the days, הרי 430 שנה. That comes out to 430. Hey, that's not fair math. He said 430 years. Why do you count the nights and the days? שדילג את הקץ. You're right. Hashem decided to skip to the due date. בזכות אבות שהם גיבות עולם, in the merit of the forefathers that are called the mountains or the hilltops of the world, ועליהם הכתוב אומר, כל דודיני איזה בא מדלג על הערים. That's why it says in the Song of Songs, yes, my beloved is coming, I hear him, he's skipping over the mountaintops. So he's skipping over the mountaintops. That's this idea, that he skipped over the years. Technically, you're right, it wasn't 430 years, but he chose to count it as 430 years. So obviously this needs work. Whenever you come to numbers in Chazal and in Tanakh, it needs work. The Medrash Rabbah says another reason they counted nights and days, because the Medrash Rabbah says they made them work nights and days. Hashem said, let them be in Egypt 400 years, but they made them work double. So then you go back and you say, wait a second, but did they make Yosef's children work night and day? They didn't start working yet. So, okay, yeah, you work something out. We could answer that, but all these answers... At the end of the day, Hashem decided to count it this way. Why? Maybe so that we'd learn from this that we don't know numbers. No, people think they know when the 6,000 years are up. So we don't know. I don't know why. More than that, I don't know why. Maybe to show us that Hashem cares for everything. That Hashem counts even if they make you work night and day, so Hashem counts that too. So everything gets into their counting. And maybe to teach us that you should never lose hope. Even if the fate seems sealed, that Hashem says it's going to be 430 years, Hashem could figure out a way of calculating it and make it happen sooner.